Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We suppose that every nation has its national heroes and personalities. We can hardly imagine studying the history of our own country without thinking of such men as George Washington or Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, or Abraham Lincoln, Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, Robert E. Lee. Our history is interwoven around the lives of these men and many others that we consider to be the heroes of the land. The nation of ancient Israel is no exception to that. They are the national heroes of prominence. There's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Joshua and Moses and Samuel and David and Solomon and on and on. And certainly one of the more outstanding ones was Moses. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10 says, "There hath not risen a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses." Now there are several reasons why Moses deserves the distinction of greatness. He was a deliverer, a lawgiver. He was a leader of the people in some of the most trying periods of existence of the nation. He was one that loved God and the people of God. But certainly one of his measures of greatness was in the choice that he made as to how he would live his life and for what purpose. And this is the kind of choice every person is compelled to make for himself or herself. Now the life of Moses can be divided into three separate 40-year periods. And each period proved to be of great importance in his mission in life. The first 40 years was spent in Egypt. He was born under adverse conditions at a time when Egyptians were killing newborn Israelite baby boys. But his mother hid him as an infant. But eventually he was adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh, and he spent most of his years at the Egyptian court, being trained in all the wisdom and learning that the Egyptians had. His stay in Egypt went a long way toward preparing him for that most important decision that he would make, and that was how he would spend his life. He learned the nature of poverty by observing the plight of the Israelites and their toil and their persecution and the hardships of their enslavement. But he also learned about wealth, being a prince in the Egyptian court. He gained the most advanced education that one could obtain at that time. And there he could develop self-confidence and poise and the qualities of leadership. All of these qualities would prove essential to him later in life. It is true that Moses may have had an overdose of self-confidence at one time because he assumed the people of Israel were ready to accept him as their deliverer when actually they were not ready for that. He took some premature actions that forced him to leave Egypt, but that's another matter that we will not discuss just now. But in Exodus chapter 2, 11 through 15, we read of two very important days in the life of this man. One day he observed an Egyptian taskmaster mistreating an Israelite, and he killed the Egyptian. The next day he found two Israelites in conflict and offered to settle the issue between them when one of them challenged him if he supposed himself to be their leader and wanted to know if he would kill one of them as he had killed the Egyptian. Moses thought that nobody knew what he had done, but he now knew, and it would not be long before Pharaoh would know and pursue him and kill him because of his deeds. He had to make a choice, whether to remain in Egypt or to flee, and choose the latter. By his defense of the Israelites, we see how Moses had to make a choice and to cast his lot with the enslaved rather than with the ruling power. Leaving Egypt, he spent his next 40 years in the land of Midian. And as he had learned much in Egypt, he learned much in Midian, further equipping him to do the primary work God wanted him to do. It's interesting to me, dear friend, to observe how God utilized the first two-thirds of Moses' life getting him ready to do what proved to be his greatest work. While in the land of Midian, he was employed as a shepherd. He lived in the great open space of nature. And there he learned things vital to survival that proved useful in his later work. There he learned quietness and how to think, how to meditate on the glories of God who created all nature, and to reflect upon his own relative insignificance. He learned responsibility. He learned how to risk his life to do his duty, being seasoned and tempered in the things that really matter in life. It was in the last stages of this second 40-year period that he made his great choice to obey the command of God to lead the people out of Egypt. God called him from a burning bush, assigning to him the duty of being Israel's deliverer in the name of the Lord. Oh yes, Moses began to make excuse why he ought not and should not try to do this, but as we see time and time again, God did not accept his excuses, but provided answers for every attempt Moses made to be relieved of this task. Moses had to carefully consider the commission and weigh the matter, and this he did. And no doubt there was a great inner conflict within him. There he returned to the land from which he had fled, but there he refused to do God's bidding. There was much at stake for himself, but also for others. He had chosen to leave the pleasures of Egypt rather than risk death. Now he must choose to suffer the afflictions of Israel if he were to assume the leadership role God called him to perform. The greatness of Moses is seen in his choice to follow the directions of the Lord, whatever the cost to himself. Scripture says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward." His choice was a deliberate one. It was not an impulsive act. He was not forced, even though he was persuaded. He carefully weighed the pros and the cons of such an undertaking, and this showed great wisdom. But he intentionally decided as he did. He chose to do what God wanted, giving his life into the hands of the Lord to be used in whatever manner the Lord desired. And by all maxims and standards of this world, Moses made an unspeakably absurd choice. He made a bad choice when he killed the Egyptian in defense of an Israelite, according to things as men of the world would see them. Why risk his wealth, his power, his pleasure, his security, his fame, to defend a worthless descendant of Abraham? Why be forced to leave the land for such as that? And now, why give up the peace and the tranquility, the security, the worthwhile life as a shepherd, only to join the ranks of an enslaved people being held and tortured by the most powerful nation on the earth? He once had the world at his fingertips, but he chose to defend the defenseless. He once had the peace for which many longed so much, but he gave that up to go back to Egypt and fight against Pharaoh. Why did he make such choices? What did he see in doing that? Friend, Moses obviously looked to the future. In the immediate future, he saw deprivation and suffering. He saw possible death for himself and others. He saw the absence of pleasures and luxuries and blessings that he was enjoying. But he looked further down into the future than just into what was immediately before him. He even looked past this present life. He looked toward eternity. He considered the life after this. He looked to the recompense of reward, Hebrews 11:26. He weighed the matter and he measured the differences between the pleasures of sin on the one hand and the service to God on the other. I want to consider it another way. There was the temporary, deceiving, disillusioning, deceptive, eventually disappointing offerings of this world that have never satisfied the yearnings of mankind, in contrast with the city whose builder and whose maker is God, the eternal bliss of heaven. the reward that is beyond all this world can provide, the peace that passeth understanding, the kind of life that produces eternal benefits and goodness, the satisfaction of knowing that one is doing what he ought to do, knowing he is doing what God wants him to do. In one sense, the choice Moses made was not as difficult to make as it might first seem. But that was because Moses was prepared to make an intelligent choice. You know, sometimes we do not make good choices because we're not equipped to make good choices. Moses had first learned what is and is not truly valuable. He knew what mattered. He had perceived the real meaning of life. He knew that to fear God and keep his commandments was the whole duty of man, as Solomon would later write. For one who does not know this, he finds himself torn between the paltry and fleeting matters of this world and spiritual considerations. When one really knows the difference between what matters and what does not, he can make good choices. Moses had learned to discern between good and evil. He knew what it was that was of deserving of emphasis and that which would ultimately prove to be just sheer folly. He had learned to walk by faith and not by sight, and his faith led him to make that kind of far-sighted choice. Rather than to bind himself down with the short-sightedness of choosing his own welfare in this life, but rather choosing God's way and his welfare for eternity. But listening, friend, are we really all that different from Moses? Do not each of us have to make some choices? Do not we also stand before our burning bush, as it were, as God calls us to duty, to have to decide which will it be? Do we not have to choose between an Egypt and an Israel? God, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, places every man in a position where he has to make a choice. God calls every man to make this world a better place. He calls upon us to give rather than just receive. He calls us to serve rather than to be served. He calls us to forgive sins and seek salvation rather than continue to exist in a hopeless state of being in sin. God affords us the opportunity to enter his service and to choose the more excellent way. Moses was great because of his choice for the Lord. The Lord blessed him. The Lord sustained him. His choice brought him some trying times while on earth, to be sure, but his choice brought him rewards from the hand of blessing from God. And Moses once charged Israel, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life, that thou mayest live, to love Jehovah thy God, to obey his voice, and cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which Jehovah sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. Having chosen life for himself, he urged his brethren to make the same choice. Today, dear friend, spiritual life and spiritual death are before each one of us. Those that obey the gospel choose life. Those that do not obey choose death. Those that live faithfully to Christ shall have their reward. You see, today is the day of choosing. Will we be as wise as Moses and make the choice to be with God? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.